I'd like for you to, best you can, kind of settle down for a few minutes and sure make it easier on us to try to preach. Just settle in just a little bit. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll just read one verse, reading verse 6. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 6. It's kind of like an old preacher says down home sometime. It said, I stayed with you, now you stay with me. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. All right, in verse 6, the Bible said, he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Read it again. He saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Ask you, Lord, to bless the message. Use it for your honor and your glory, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to preach to you for about a half hour tonight, and I'll close. I won't be much longer than that, or a little bit shorter, and I'd like to preach on the qualifications of a high priest. The qualifications of a high priest. You can, brother, turn me down just a little. They'll be grabbing their ears here in a minute. Qualifications of a high priest. Now, let me say this quickly tonight in the way of introduction. Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, is a transitional book. It brings us from the Old Testament into the New. Acts, a transitional book, brings us from Israel to the church. Hebrews, a transitional book, takes us from the church into the tribulation period. And here Paul is trying to establish some facts with this Old Testament Jews and these Hebrew people here and convince them that the old economy and the Levitical priesthood had been abolished and done away with. Here he's trying to convince these Jews that the new economy is superior to the old economy. And to do that, he must convince these people that the new covenant is superior to the old. Now, as Paul is establishing these facts here in the book of Hebrews, he's trying to convince some people that knew and realized every day that God had his hand on a Levitical priesthood. Everybody knew that in Bible days that God had picked out a Levitical priesthood and God had used them and dealt with them and used them in the nation of Israel. And now Paul is trying to establish to them that the Levitical priesthood has been done away with and now God has a heavenly priesthood that is more superior. Let me say this. The priest is somebody that would go and take man and bring him directly into the presence of God. Now, the prophet, here's the contrast. The prophet would go up on a mountain, he'd get a message from the Word of God, and he'd say, thus saith the Word. That Old Testament prophet would come from God and bring a message to man. He'd say, thus, hear, O Israel, the word of God. He'd say, thus saith the word of God. He'd bring that message that he had got from God, and he'd bring it to man. Now, the priest, he wasn't like that. He'd go and take man that was alienated, that couldn't get next to God, and he'd go and get him, and he'd bring him directly in the presence of God. He is a bridge builder. He'd span the gap that nobody else could span. And I'm glad to say to you 2,000 years ago that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary and where we was alienated, where we couldn't get close to God, where there was no fellowship, the Lord Jesus Christ, he rent the veil from top to bottom and spread open his arm and said, whosoever we are, let him come and take of the water of life freely. He's the bridge builder. I was reading and studying recently. We had a visit from Rome. I looked that word up, pontiff. It literally means the high one. It means the exalted one. It means Maximus. It means the great high priest. I'd like to say to you tonight that the Pope is alive. He's not the high priest. He's not the exalted one. He's not the Maximus. But God Almighty selected a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pope is a fraud and a liar tonight. I mean, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain help and mercy in a time of need. Now let me say four quick things about it tonight, and we'll go to the house. First of all, I'd like to say our high priest is selected. He's selected, and he's selected by God, not by man. Look in verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. The religious crowd didn't select the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't want him. The Jewish nation didn't want him. The Gentiles didn't want him. They did not select our high priest. But God Almighty and the partners of glory selected a mighty near high priest tonight. And God put his hand on him. And God chose him. And man did not select our high priest. Now listen, this is exactly the way it was. Man was, could not get close to God. In Genesis chapter 3, when Eve beat us out of house and home, we was alienated and drove out of the presence of God. I mean, in Genesis chapter 3, the cherubim was put there to guard the tree of life, and there we was alienated, there we was away, and could not fellowship God Almighty. Do you understand that man could not get next to God? Even when Moses received the oracles of God, he went up on Mount Sinai and God took his finger and wrote the tablets of stone, but Israel had to stay in the valley. Only Moses got to deal with God. Then when that very temporal setting in the wilderness, when they constructed that tabernacle, they was the holiest of holy, and God would only let man come so far, and then he drove the wedge between them and said, that's as far as you can go. We was alienated. We could not get next to God. Even when Solomon built that great architectural temple, and Solomon prayed the great oratory prayer, and the glory of God came down, they were still the holiest of holy, and that was as far as man could go. The high priest went in and done the sacrifice, and man was said, stay out. This is as far as you can go. But old Job got to longing over there for a dazed man. Job got to longing for an arbitrator. Job got to looking for somebody to reconcile him. And when man was drove away from God, and man couldn't get close to God, God Almighty selected his son, and Jesus came down and reached over and grabbed man with one hand and got a hold of God with the other hand and brought us together and reconciled us. That was a priest, a bridge builder, the gap splendor, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, selected by God Almighty. Let me say quickly tonight, not only was he selected, but he's a sympathetic high priest. Now listen, omnipotent means he knows everything. Omnipresent means he can be everywhere at the same time. But I like the word sympathetic. That means he feels everything that me and you've ever felt. And I like that. I mean, I really do. Could I illustrate it this way? Back in April of this year, I was Chattanooga Revival. I'd just come in from the West Coast and changed clothes and fixing to drive to Chattanooga to preach a meeting. The telephone rang. My daddy said, "Son, me and your mother's over here burning brush." And he said, "I can't find your mother. She's got lost in the smoke and we can't find her." I jumped in the car and drove about a mile over to my mother's house. I got out and started walking through the wood line where the woods had been burning. I said, "Mother! Mother!" And there was no answer came back out of those woods. 30-some-odd years, I'd heard her answer back, "Here I am, son." But the woods echoed with silence that day. I ran down to her house and walked through the bedroom, walked through the living room, and said, "Mother!" And there was no answer and no reply. And finally, I said, "Something must be wrong." I ran back up to where the woods where they'd been burning brush. I walked up to a brush pile, and there laid my precious mother, tangled up in those brush. I looked at that body. It was burned up and charred. And there I said, "Oh, my soul," as I knelt down beside my mother's body. That woman had prayed me in. 20 years she had prayed and watched her Savior bring her boy home and get right with God. As I knelt, I went to the house and got me a bed sheet, covered up my mother's body to keep the gnats and the flies off of it. I knelt her in the dust, put my hand, Dr. Ruckman, over on that body, and I said, "I just want to thank you, God, for giving me nearly 30 years with this old saint of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a praying godly mama. Thank you, Lord, for letting me have a real old-time Christian and a saint of God for a mother all these years." As I knelt there, I'm preaching about that sympathetic high priest. As I knelt there, the devil hitched up next to me. He said, "Danny, where is that loving Savior you've been preaching about? Where is that sympathetic high priest you've been preaching about? Where is that Savior that cares? Where's he at? Your mother laying there burnt to death." About that time, I felt a breeze come in from the glory world. Just felt somebody kind of nestle up next to me and slip that sympathetic arm around me. He said, "Son, that's not your mother laying there. That's just an old carcass. Well, just an old body burned up. I look up here where I'm at. Your mama's going home with me. I hear she is. She's up here with me, son." I'm preaching about a sympathetic high priest. No matter what the storm is, no matter what the sickness is, no matter what the trial is, you say, "Brother Danny, you don't know what I'm going through." You're exactly right, I don't know. But he does, beloved, and he knows what you need. He meets your need. He'll stay with you and stick closer than a brother. Sympathetic high priest. Quickly and thirdly tonight, not only is he sympathetic, not only is he selected by God, but may I say that he's sacrificial. He's a sacrificial high priest. The Bible said in verse 1 in chapter 5, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." And I say to you tonight that we have a high priest that is sacrificial. I mean, he is sacrificial. He said that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now, I got to look at that word gifts. Under that old economy, that Old Testament Jew, he'd take him some flour, he'd take him some oil, and he'd knead it together. He'd sprinkle him some frankincense on top of it. He'd bake it. He'd take it to the high priest. He'd say, "I didn't come to ask for anything. I just come to say I'm grateful and thankful for what God's done for me. You know what the sin of America is? Ingratitude. Ain't nobody grateful for nothing. Ain't nobody thankful for nothing. We got more than we've ever had. We got the best we've ever had. God's been good to us. We got the best jobs we've ever had. We got the best houses we've ever lived in. And nobody's grateful anymore. Somebody said, I ain't got nothing to thank God for. You know, when I just get rock bottom, ain't got nothing I can say I'm grateful for. You know what I like to do? I like to thank him for my conversion. Amen? I mean, when I got saved by the grace of God. I'm talking about I like to thank him for my conversion. I like to thank him for my calling. I mean, I'm glad to be called and be found faithful enough to be put in the ministry. And I'd like to say he put me in it because man showed that God wouldn't have had me. I'm glad of my calling. I remember I announced it in 1975 on April Fool's Day. Everybody laughed, everybody sniggered, but I'm telling you, it's just like a fire burning in my soul. And I want you to know tonight, I'm grateful for my calling. I mean, I like to thank him for my companion. Amen? I mean, thank God for a good companion. I like to thank him for my church. I'm glad God died for the church. I'm glad that God has established some local church here. And I'm glad he died for the church. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like to thank him for our church. I like to thank him for our country. I'm glad to be an American tonight, aren't you? I say everybody don't like America. Why don't you get you a ticket to Moscow and leave tonight? Amen? I mean, praise God for America. I'm glad that God has let me be saved and part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and live in America. I'm glad to be an American tonight. If I loved some other place better, I'd pack up and leave, I see. We might get you up an offer and get you out of here. Amen? I'm saying, I mean, I'm southern born, southern bred. I'm glad to be there. But I'm telling you, I'm not fighting Yankee and rebel stuff tonight. I'm an American, and I'm glad to be American. Amen? Thank God for America. He said not only gifts, but sacrifices for sin. Did you realize sacrifices is not singular, but it's plural? Jesus not only died for our past, but he died for our present, and he died for our future, beloved. And if you had no wanting to go to heaven, you shouldn't have got saved because you're going now. He's paid the debt. Sacrifice. Let me say this in close. Some of you look like your mother-in-law has moved in to stay. I don't blame you for looking like that if she has. Let me say, last of all, our high priest is a supplicating high priest. He ever liveth to make intercessions for me and you. Peter made the brag in the gospel. Now, I'm not hard on Peter. He did have enough faith to get out of the boat. A lot of us ain't never got out of the boat. Peter made the brag and he said, I'll never leave you, Jesus. I'll die for you. I'll go all the way. Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift thee like wheat. But the Lord said, I have prayed for thee that your faith will fail not. What a prayer warrior we have tonight. I mean, somewhere in that faraway land, somewhere in that distant country, the Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for me and you, beloved. Somebody said, what's he praying for? He's a praying for his weak children, that they'll be strengthened. He's a praying for his wavering children that they'll not turn aside and go shipwreck. He's a praying for his wandering children that Simon Peter long ago Now let me close with these last few verses. Turn your Bible to John chapter 17. I'll show you something I never saw. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we see the purpose of his supplication. He said in John 17:17, now everybody says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the Lord's Prayer. That ain't the Lord's Prayer. That's a model prayer to teach his disciples how to pray. They came to him and said, "John's disciples taught them how to pray. He said, teach us how to pray." And he told them. John chapter 17, this is the Lord praying here. This is his prayer. He said in John 17:17, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The purpose of his supplication, he prays that we'll be sanctified. Now, there's no denomination has a monopoly on the word sanctification. It just means good, godly, called out, holy, living, beloved. And everybody needs to be sanctified. It's positional when we're saved in the body of Christ. It's progressive as we live day by day and read the Word of God. And it'll be perfected at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prays that we be sanctified. He prays not only that, but in verse 21, he prays that we be organized. He said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He's praying that we'll be organized. That's not an ecumenical prayer. But you know, it's a crying shame when, I mean, old-fashioned Baptist Bible believers can't even shake hands and fellowship one another. I mean, it's a crying shame when people that believe the Bible are the same faith. I mean, old-time Bible believer that believe alike, they won't even shake hands with each other in public. That's a shame and disgrace. Somebody walked up to me a while back and said, "Did you know about old so-and-so?" Said, "He ain't even qualified for the ministry." I said, "Hey, man, I'm trying to figure out how in the name of God I'm qualified. Huh? I ain't got time to be trying to qualify this one and disqualify that. I'm trying to figure out how in the name of God I'm qualified." I mean, it's a crying shame. The Bible still said, "Behold, how pleasant and good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, like the ointment that came down Aaron's beard, even the dew that ascended from Mount Hermon." God give us some old-time Holy Ghost unity among the brethren. Christian army is the only army in the world that shoots their own wounded. I mean in the back too. Ain't got enough guts and gall to say it to their face. They'll shoot them in the back. Amen? I mean people that believe like we do and standing for the Bible and love God, trying to do something. I got no business fighting them. I wonder if God would bless them and increase their ministry. Organize. Then he prays not only for sanctification, that we be organized, but he prays in verse 24 that we be glorified. And I won't even stop. Just give it to you. Secondly, the purpose of his supplication. Let me close with this. The power of his supplication. Do you realize tonight that the Lord's supplication is perpetual? It ain't never going to end. Never. Will it end? A general was over yonder in a far country defending his nation. And while he was gone, his wife committed high treason against the throne. That king sent for that general and said, "Bring him home. His wife committed treason and she must die in the morning." When that general mounted his stead and rode all night, the wee hours of morning, he fell before the throne and said, "King, spare my wife." He said, "She's committed treason, and in the morning, she's to die." He spent a sleepless night. as the sun rose over the eastern hills, that woman was lined up for execution. The king sat on his throne. That general came and fell before the king and stuck out his hands and his arms and said, King, you see these wounds in my hand? You see these wounds on my arm? I got them over there fighting for your country, defending your honor. And what that man's terminology or vocabulary could never accomplish, instantaneously, that king rose up off the throne and said, let her go, turn her loose, and she is freed. Somebody said, the scars in the hands of Jesus. I don't believe a word of it. No, sir. I don't believe it's the scars in the hands of Jesus. A scar can scab over, it'll dry up, and there'll just be a scar there. But Zechariah said he was wounded in the house of his friends. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ today stands in the portals of glory with them wounds fresh in his hands and that wound fresh in his side. And every time one of us are wavering, are wondering, are weak, and that should be done away with, I believe Jesus stepped forward and that perpetual supplication, he shows them the wounds in his hand and the wounds in his side. And I believe the Father is appeased. The Father says it's all right. They're your purchased product. They're yours. Them wounds are perpetual. John 17 and verse 9, you see the people of his supplication, and I'm through. In verse 9, this really got a hold of me. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I read that and I said, my soul, where am I at? I mean, you talk about Calvinistic. I said, where are we at, Lord? He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. I said, where do we come in at, Lord? He said, read on. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's where we got in at, beloved. That's where the whosoever wills got in at. He prayed that those would believe on them and their word. And I'm glad Paul went to Asia Minor. I'm glad a missionary came to Europe. I'm glad they came on to North America. And I'm glad they came to Alabama in 1974. And I got saved by the grace of God. I'm glad we got a high priest tonight that ever liveth to make intercession for me and you.
Yes, sir.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. You're right, but he does. He's got the answer. He's got the remedy. Whatever it is tonight, you can come get it right with him. He'll make peace, give you peace that passes all understanding. Whether it's a financial storm, sickness, trials, whatever it is, as we stand together and sing together.